The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
So as I do, I'm a very compulsive person and a very prepared person. Those of you who've been around me know that by now. You know, and so I like to be prepared. I like to spend a lot of time in preparation. I'm working on sermons long before you even know what they're about. I mean, they're churning away inside of me. And then when I get to the preparation time and put it all together, it takes me a week to do what I do as far as what you see on Sunday morning. So I'm always prepared. I got notes. I got PowerPoint. I got Jim and the TriCaster people back there. They all know what I'm going to do. I send it out so everybody, you know, prepared and ready. Well, when I came in, I changed my mind. I'm not going to preach a sermon I had. And what I'm going to speak to you about is fresh bread for me, in that as I was killing time this morning, if you will, and I was reading out of Matthew when I got here and sat down, and I thought, you know, I think I'll just talk about that this morning. You know, so I want to talk to you out of Matthew chapter 4. A very familiar scripture for you. Everybody's heard it 1,000 times, but it's what we call the Beatitudes, all right? I'm just going to kind of peruse through here and give you kind of what's on my mind and heart. It's actually chapter 4, beginning in verse 25, I guess. There's a paragraph actually, it's chapter 4, verse 25. It actually starts there. So let's pray for just a minute. By the way, Jim gave me a new toy. And I love stuff that goes deep, you know, and it's got a little lights. I mean, this one's got a pointer and all. And this will allow me to change the slides when Jim's sleeping back there. And I'm looking forward to doing that. But I've told him I'm not going to use it today, since I'm not going to use any PowerPoint slides unless Jim creates them on a slide back there, on the fly back there. So I appreciate that. Thank you for letting me have that this morning. I look forward to using it next week. And I also like to point it, because that way when I make a point sometimes and you wonder what I'm talking about, you, I'll just point. You, the one with that red dot on you. Okay. Won't be any question about it. Let's pray for just a moment. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you for allowing us to be here. Lord, I thank you for this precious body of Christ that's here with me today, who allow me to speak each week and share my life with them and share your truths with them. And I thank you for them, Father. And as we've spent some of us, all 13 years together, Lord, since 1999, when we started New Beginnings Church, even to this day. Lord, I don't know what your plans are for us, but I know this, your plans for us are all good. And so because they're good, we submit ourselves to you. Father, have your will and your way accomplished in this place today. And for those who are watching by the internet, I pray that this message that you preach, Lord Jesus, so very long ago, would have life and light to it today, to cast the darkness out of our lives and to bring us hope when there's so many hopeless situations. And we pray together in the precious name of Jesus, and all the people of God said, amen. Amen. No, they didn't. They said it louder than that. Amen. There you go. I don't want you getting lazy, man. I've been going for a week and there you are just getting weak. Verse 25 in Matthew 4 says, large crowds from Galilee and Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. And then it goes into chapter 5. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountaintop and he began to teach them. You know, if you're going to lead, it's nice to have people who are following. You know, I read a story about a fictitious story about a military guy in the battlefield who was making a raid at night, and he had told his men, you know, to follow him, and so he plowed his way up to where they were going to have the attack and waited for the sun to break forth and they could start their attack. And when the sun came up and he could see, he said, "Fire!" And he pulled the trigger on his rifle. He only heard one shot because nobody else followed him. He was by himself. So it's nice to have people follow you. Or there's another thing, was just to be one of my favorite posters. It's a flock of geese. And they're all going in all different directions. And the caption on the bottom said, "Lead, follow, or get out of the way." You know? And so it's interesting to me that this crowd of people who didn't know Jesus very well. I mean, his ministry was just starting. He just called a couple of the apostles. And but he had done some things that got their attention. You know, that's what happens to us many times. God gets our attention. You know, it's something he says, something he did. For each of you here, some way, shape, or form, God got your attention. For some of you, it was a gentle, sweet call of the Holy Spirit. For other of you, it was a giant hammer. You know, just banged you right on the head. You know, because you were a little hard-headed. Maybe I need to use this pointer so I can make sure I get the right people when I say stuff like that. You get back there and get some of these guys. This is going to be fun. I mean, I really got to think, you know. So, yeah. Yeah, that's what I need to do. So, but this crowd of people, for whatever the reasons, showed up. Now, I'm imagining that the reason they went there was for what? To get something. I mean, people were being healed, something. He was feeding people, turned water into wine, you know. Maybe a few would say, "Hey, man, did you hear about this Jesus? Let's go see what he's doing." You know, just get there and find out what the thing is. And so when Jesus went up on a mountaintop, if you ever seen any pictures of where they believe Jesus spoke that day, it's a mountaintop, and it's a very beautiful, picturesque area. And he went up that mountain, and, you know, they had to follow him. It would have been easier if they would have stayed down in the valley. Is that right? For us mud bugs down here, we're not too good on climbing mountains. You know, we like things where it's nice and flat. You know, and if you ever got up in the mountains and have to walk up those trails, I mean, it's hard. It's difficult. I mean, even if you drive your cars, we're flatlanders around here, and when you're used to driving your cars on flat land and you drive it someplace with this mountain, you find that you got to push the accelerator down further in order for it to go up. I mean, and you hear your transmission and you know, lots of things you're not used to. And so Jesus took them up to a place that caused some difficulty. They had to strain to get there. But the straining was worth it, because when he told them to sit down, he had something that would not only change their lives, has changed countless millions upon millions or billions. I have no idea how many lives have been changed by this passage of Scripture. And hopefully we're going to be changed by it this morning too. I don't believe the Lord would have changed our mind if there wasn't a reason for us to hear this. So when he sat down, he had everyone sit down. It says his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed, blessed, 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 blessed." You know why I kept saying blessed? Because we need to be blessed. This world has cursed us. And we need a blessing from God. You know, some of you here a lot of what's wrong in your life, a lot of what God brought, has caused you great consternation in your life, is you have never been blessed. No, your parents never blessed you. They never laid their hands on you and said, honey, be blessed. You're going to have a great life. It's going to be wonderful. Things are going to be good for you. To the contrary, many of your parents, if they were there, and some of them weren't there, maybe death took them away, maybe divorce took them away, maybe they took themselves away emotionally, maybe they were in alcohol, maybe they were, you know, all the multitude of things that caused them not to be there, and you missed that blessing. And I believe that pictures most of our world today. People have not been blessed, and all they know is cursing and hardship and difficulties and struggling, and they don't have any clue what it's like to live a blessed life. And I think the overall picture of what Jesus was saying that day is, I want you to be blessed. Blessings come in different forms, but mostly they come through words, good words. I was very fortunate in my life. My parents were not Christians, although they had a form of religion. They went to church occasionally, but they didn't know the Lord because they both came to the Lord later. But they imparted in me things that have kept me stable in an unstable world. And my dad always said, son, you can do better than I've done. That was a blessing. He didn't know it, but that's what he was doing. He was blessing me with a truth. You can do better than I've done. You can do better than I've done. And I grew up with that. He must have told me that a kabillion times. And do you know what? I've done so much better than my dad ever did in this world that it's not even measurable. He worked hard as a laborer. He didn't have very much money all of his life. He struggled with the physical aspects of life. He was a joyful man, but he worked hard. Remember, he worked in a factory where they made roofing material. And the way you make roofing material is you take the paper and things that most people would throw away, materials and stuff like that, and they boil it in these giant boilers. And as they boil it, it changes its physical composition to the point where they can then use it and add some other ingredients to it, and they make the roofing that you have on your houses. And my dad worked in that place, and he told me that the temperature inside that building where he worked would get up to 130 degrees or higher. And I remember as a young boy, I wanted to go where my daddy was because I loved my dad. And I'd say, Daddy, can I go to work with you? Can I go to work with you? And he never would let me go. And when I got older, I really insisted one time that I wanted to go in that plant where my daddy worked because I wanted to see what was happening. You know what he told me? I will not let you into this place because you can do better than I've done. You don't have to work like this to make a living. And I can still, we were standing outside the plant. I had gone down there because I wanted to get in. I had him called off from his job because he had a guard because you couldn't just walk in. Blessing me. And I could go on with multitude of different things. Now, some of you never had that. You never had anybody encourage you in what you've done in your life. You've risen as high as you can. And for most of you, that wasn't very high at all. And then, some way, God came into your lives. And you began to receive some of the blessings of God. And God began to come into your lives. But one of the things that God has to deal with in your life is getting you to believe who you are in Christ. Because much of the vision that you have of yourself is a vision that you received from a child where you were never blessed. Well, you were never told the great potential that you had, the great opportunities that existed for you. And because of that, you struggle. Even as a believer, many of you just struggle, and you think, well, I'll never get out of where I am. Jesus is here to tell you, through the Word, through me today, that you don't have to continue from where you are right now. You can go on from here and be blessed and have more than you ever dreamed possible in this world. But it has to start with you believing it. Everything in Christianity revolves around that word, belief. Do you believe? Do you believe? We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we get saved, and then what? We end up going to church. The sermon that I was going to preach, I was going to start it off by telling you, a lot of people go to church. But the ecclesia is the place where God goes to meet his people. The ecclesia is a Greek word that means that called out assembly. See, we just go through the motions of life instead of living a life that God wants us to have. Let's look at some of these things that Jesus talked about. I'm not going to go through every one of them, but I think it's important to see some of them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say blessed are the poor. You know, there's a lot of people think that, if you're a Christian, you need to live poor. You know, because it's not in your future to ever have anything of this world. That's just not true. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Are you poor in spirit and that your spirit is pushed down, that his spirit might rise up? John the Baptizer said to Jesus, he said, I must decrease that he might increase. I must decrease that he might increase. We need to be poor in our own resources and abilities and trust in his resources and abilities. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. It's in God's hand to give wealth and prosperity. It's God who brings joy into our lives. That sense of well-being that Ricky spoke about. That sense of, hey, today is a good day, and tomorrow will be a better day. But if you don't have that about you, you will never be blessed. You need to get out of the thing, oh, woe is me. You know, the Chicken Little story, you know. The sky is falling, the sky is falling. People are worried about the economy. What's going to happen if Mr. Obama gets reelected and if he continues on the path of spending and what all of that's going to do? Or what's going to happen to us? How are we going to get rid of $15 trillion in debt? How are we going to pay for Obamacare? And everyone's concerned and worried about that. I'm not concerned or worried one bit. Do you know why? Because my resources are not based on my ability. My resources are based on God's ability. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see the kingdom of God. What do you see when you look around every day? Do you see poverty? Do you see hardship? Do you see sickness? Do you live in depressed? Are you worried all the time? Or do you see the kingdom of God? I believe it's in Hebrews, it says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that the kingdom of God, which cannot be shaken, will rise up and stand. So you need to look with the eyes of the kingdom. I went to a church down in Florida when I was there, and Pastor Clark Whitten, the guy who wrote the book that I think many of you have, Pure Grace, he was going through the idea of repentance. And he very, very great teaching. You can get it off his internet site, the one from last week. And you've heard me say this before. Repentance is not remorse. Repentance is not getting on your knees and lamenting. That's not what it is. It literally means change thinking. Jesus said, change your thinking because the kingdom of God is at hand. He wasn't telling you to lay down and be remorseful and all those things. That's not the point. The point is, do you see the kingdom of God? If you live your life not seeing the kingdom of God, you will live a life of poverty. And I'm not talking about just physical poverty. You will live a spiritual, deprived Christianity. You will never, ever rise up above the level that you are until you begin to see things in the kingdom. Because the kingdom is not poor. The kingdom is rich. The kingdom can't be shaken. It is stable. It's the only place you can put your feet and say that you are settled. You ever walk across one of those old swinging bridges that they have up in the mountains? It makes all of us nervous, doesn't it? We don't have those around here. You know? And when you walk across those things, you know, you feel shaken because there's nothing to hold you, and there's always some idiot kid who's behind you who's running and bouncing on the thing. And, you know, and you're just hanging on for dear life that it doesn't break in half and you end up at the bottom of the cliff. You know? And the truth is that thing's not going to fall. You may think it's going to fall, but it won't fall. It's got cables on it to keep that from happening. And you need to think of life as the kingdom of God is like the cables that hold us steady. And no matter what the idiots are doing around you, jumping down, up and down, destroying the economy, you know, messing things up, you know, running into your car, doing all kinds of horrible things, your kids out of control, or your grandkids are, you know, really out of control, you know, and all those things. But the kingdom cannot be shaken. And you need to see that. And no matter what you hear, whether a doctor tells you some bad news, whether the phone rings. My phone rang last night about 10:30, 11 o'clock, and I heard it ring, and I was sleeping. And my first thought was, there ain't no good news when my phone rings at 11 o'clock at night. Nobody's calling with good news at 11 o'clock at night, except the person who called happened to be on the West Coast, and they don't know how to subtract and add time. Instead of being 9 o'clock, they thought it was 7 o'clock. They were at 9, they thought they were calling at 7, which was 11 here. So that really, you know, it was not the thing that you wanted to hear. But no matter what happens, your heart needs to be set on the kingdom. And if it's not, you will live a very fearful life. You've heard it said, how many times you've heard sermons about fear? Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. You know why it tells you so many times you're supposed to not be afraid? Because we're scared. We are frightened of life. A lot of you won't even try anything in life because you're scared to death you'll fail. Failure in life is not when you try something that doesn't work. Failure in life is not to try to do something, to reach out beyond yourself, to take that risk in life. Just do it. Just take the risk. We think because we're on this channel, it's a channel we need to live on the rest of our lives. You know, one of my modern-day heroes, and you may or may not like him, but I like him, is Governor Huckabee, Mike Huckabee. And I'll tell you why I like Mike Huckabee. Not because of his political leanings, which I agree with, but because of he's a guy who's not afraid to live life. He was a business person, you know, working just as a regular, and he felt God called him to preach. He went to the seminary, and he pastored a church for I don't know how many years. And then he felt that he wanted to try politics. And he got into politics. He became the governor of the state that he lived in. Now, you may not think that's anything. Just try to get elected dog catcher, much less a governor. I mean, that's a big deal. And then he ran for the president of the United States and really had a shot at it. And if he would have been running this time, he'd have another good shot at it. But he decided that he wanted to do something different. So now he's a TV personality. You know, and he's got his little talk show, and he's doing great. He's on the radio. I mean, he's probably making more money than there is in the world, which is really great for him. But I like him because he doesn't get stuck. He's not stuck. Are you stuck? Are you stuck thinking you got to do what you're doing for the rest of your life? Or are you willing to let God change and do something different? To be able to trust God enough to do what God's called you to do. Not with your expectations of what can happen, but about what His expectations can happen. Does that make sense to you? Does that ring kind of true on the inside of you? You know? But you can't do it in the natural. I mean, you can't hear this sermon and say, oh, well, I'm going to go out and, you know, be Superman or Superwoman. I'm going to jump off of high buildings or, you know, you missed the point. The point is trusting in the kingdom. And it begins in your heart and believing God and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? Would you open the opportunities for me? And then to be a little bit of a risk taker. Don't go out and sell everything you got and move to California. Well, why you move to California? But, you know, move to California. But unless you have leading from God. You know, and sometimes God will lead you just to see why, if you're willing to do it. I remember there was a man came and spoke at a church that I belonged to, and he was going to the Philippines preach. He was a big evangelist, and he was very well known in that part of the world. And he was going, and he said, if anybody would like to go with me, they can go. And I was sitting there, and I said, Lord, I think you want me to go. And boy, just really, I mean, just went through me, you know. I said, man, I'm supposed to go to the Philippines. You know me very well. I don't go very far. You know, my string's not very long, you know. I did it when I worked, you know, but I don't like it. I'm a homebody. I go see my grandbaby, and I come home. Go see the grandbaby, and I come home. I go see the grandbaby. I mean, that's just about what I do. But, the Philippines was way beyond where I wanted to go. So, I went up to the guy and I said, you know, I'd like to go to the Philippines with you. He said, great. You know, give me your name and address and all that kind of stuff. And I started making preparations and I told Pat and, started getting the money together. And it was not right away. It was several months away. Went and got a passport. I was ready to go. And we were within weeks of going. And I was sitting at home and the Holy Spirit said, I don't want you to go to the Philippines. And I said, excuse me? Somebody else here? Because I sure made a lot of plans to go. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, no, I don't want you to go. So what am I supposed to do? He said, well, call him up and tell him you're not coming. I said, well, everybody's got plans for me to go. He said, I don't want you to go. I said, well, why did you tell me you wanted me to go? You know what he said to me? I just wanted to see if you'd do it if I ask you to. Just wanted to see. And I knew I couldn't go. And it was embarrassing for me to call. I had to tell Pat. She said, are you crazy? All those arrangements we've made. And I said, no, I'm not going. The Lord told me not to go. And I didn't go. And maybe one day I'll know the end of that story. But I just tell it to you is that sometimes we need to make sure, and if God tells us to do something, to try it, but be willing for him to say, no, that's enough. That's far enough. And there's other times I could tell you things like that happened to me that really surprised me where I felt God was leading me. And then God would say, no, I don't want you to do that. So, but be fluid. All right, I'm spending too much time on this. One point. So much time my machine went to sleep here. Let me wake it up here. I want to talk about one more thing and then I'm going to quit because I know we have some other stuff to do. Down in verse 6. It said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. One of the things that grieves my soul, Pat and I spent a lot of time talking about this when we were out of town, grieves my soul is the things that I see going on in the world and things that I see going on in the church. It just grieves me. That there's this sort of a cavalier attitude about God, cavalier attitude about righteousness, a cavalier attitude about morality. People do stuff that just, I'm spellbound. Spellbound. People have children out of wedlock. Thank God they have them and don't abort them. I mean, I'm thankful for that. But they don't think anything of it. That's okay. And so this kind of cavalier attitude. And this says that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. Are you empty? Do you feel empty? Do you feel you need a revival. You know, we always talk about this great revival. We're going to have revival. We're going to have revival. And we're waiting for it to fall out of heaven and for, you know, the great evangelist to show up or, this, or that certain message or something to fill us. I mean, all you need to do is just want to have revival. Just want to be lifted up. And if you hunger for it, if you thirst for it, right now I am thirsty. I'm real thirsty because one of the things I come to church early to do is get water. Oh. And I'm dry. No, don't move, George. No. I knew you'd do that. But I am thirsty right now, and I hate to be thirsty. I mean, I don't like being thirsty. But you know, my mouth is dry because I've been, you know, speaking, and you know, I need a little liquid to kind of refresh me. And I'm not getting refreshed, but I want to be refreshed. And there's only one way for me to quench my thirst. Only one thing that will do it, and that's to get some water in here and then to drink it. Are you thirsting for God? Are you saying, God, I want more than what I have? And I don't want this phony baloney, you know, happy on Sunday morning thing. I want the real thing. And you're going to have to go to the living water, and you're going to have to drink of it. The psalmist said it this way. He said, my soul pants and longs for you as Pastor Morris does for a drink of water. He says, as a deer pants after the water brook. Beloved, do yourselves a favor. Let your thirst be quenched on the living word and the living water of God. Nothing else will satisfy you. You can drink a Coca-Cola, you're going to be thirsty again real soon because it'll make you thirsty. But water will quench your thirst. And it's the pure living water of the Holy Spirit that'll quench your thirst. Nothing else is going to work. Nothing else will work. That's the only thing. You want to be blessed? No? Do you want to be filled? Do you want to finally be filled? Blessed of you when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Let me encourage you to go through this passage of Scripture today and tomorrow. Sit down and just read it. But don't read it like you're reading, you know, a magazine. Just ponder it. Think about it. Take each word and take it apart. Blessed are those who mourn. What is that all about? What does that mean? Blessed are those. Am I one of those? Am I mourning? Mourning for what? Am I mourning because somebody died? I'm mourning for my life. Because my life's not what I want it to be. Blessed are those. Am I mourning because I'm not close to God? Take it apart, piece by piece, and look at it that way. It says they'll be comforted. Do you need comfort? Take this and go through it. I believe it'll be so therapeutic for you. It'll really, really help you. Okay? Is that a pretty good extemporaneous sermon? All right. I could go on for hours and hours and hours on this, I do believe. Father, I thank you for this word. And Father, as we continue on this morning, we praise you and bless you. Thank you for blessing us this morning with your word. Your word is indeed meat and drink unto us. We thank you, Father, in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.